Welcome to the first episode of Naval History and Heritage Command's podcast, Anchored in History, Stories of America's Navy. NHHC serves our nation as the U.S. Navy's institutional memory, preserving an accurate history of the U.S. Navy. This podcast series will provide a peek at some of that history through snapshots in time and confirmed stories shared by those who have studied it and, when possible, those who are there. I'm your host, Cliff Davis, and with me in the studio today is Alexis Van Poole, Command Operations Report Program Coordinator and Processing Team Lead, and Anna Holloway, Fleet History's Team Lead. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, great to be here.
So for our first episode today, we're actually going to talk about Navy deck logs and sailor poetry. And I'm sure this is something that people are probably going to question. Why is the Navy involved with poetry, and what are deck logs? So Anna and Alexis, take it away and tell us the history of deck logs and why poetry.
Well, deck logs are actually a log that every commissioned naval vessel writes that accounts for every major event that happens on the ship 24 hours a day. So if, you know, God forbid somebody fall overboard or something happens to an engine or something, it gets notated and preserved in the deck log. Those deck logs are then sent to the Naval History and Heritage Command, where we first ensure that every day of the month is accounted for and that it's been classified properly. And then we put it in some boxes and keep 5 years worth on site, and then maintain ownership of 30 years worth of deck logs. So if a ship needs a copy of their deck log, or if, you know, someone else in the Navy needs a copy of the deck log for whatever reason, we can provide access to those people. After 30 years, they get transferred to the National Archives. And with the 30 years worth that we keep, we support efforts by the VA and the VBA to support veterans' claims. That's actually what deck logs get used for most often, is to support our veterans.
Okay, so what is the difference between a deck log and a CORE then, or a Command Operations Report?
Well, a Command Operations Report is an annual report. That is something every command in the Navy, of which there's over 2,100, writes every single year that documents their own history. The deck logs, comparatively, are filled out only by the ships, and those are sent to us for every single month.
So how long have been sailors producing deck logs?
Well, the earliest deck log from the U.S. Navy is held at the National Archives, and that's from the schooner Wasp from 1776. But the deck log tradition goes back to, of course, our Royal Navy roots, and those logs... Currently, I think the oldest one that is held by the British equivalent of the archives is from the early 17th century.
Okay. So deck logs and cores are still being used kind of hand in hand. The cores are just a yearly snapshot, and the deck logs are a daily occurrence of what's happening, correct?
Correct. You can think of the core almost as the narrative. It is the story portion of it, and the deck log, I would really consider the nuts and bolts information.
Yeah, no, the most important function that the deck logs and the cores serve is to support our veterans and their VA claims, especially now that the PACT Act has been approved and going through. Like, that greatly increased the number of requests we were getting from just the last 20 years. But if the sailors and the people writing these reports don't put the information in there, people aren't going to know until they need that report, and that's 20, 30 years down the line, and there's nothing we can do to get that information unless it's happened to have been captured somewhere else.
So where are some of the other places that you can capture information that's, if it's not in a core report or a deck log? How do you guys find the stuff that people are requesting, saying, hey, I was at location X at time Y, I need this for reason Z?
Well, if it's an unclassified matter, we can go to things like All Hands or, you know, DVIDS with any articles that have been posted. For stuff that is not unclassified, I know that in the past we've had information of, okay, so ship X was in this location on this day, and the veteran is saying we were in this location on this day. Could that ship have traveled that distance in that amount of time? And we can do those calculations. And if it's possible, then, you know, we can go from there in support of the claim and hopefully get the veteran the benefits that they're asking for.
So Anna, you were mentioning that there's VA and VBA individuals embedded, I guess, with NHHC or?
Yes, within our office and here at the Navy Yard. And so we see this play out every day. They're just working veterans claims and they're using deck logs, they're using cores. And it can sometimes be very heartbreaking because the information simply is not there. And the researchers aren't able to make, you know, a positive
verification
of it. And so in terms of that type of thing, it's so important. We tell sailors that ask us about, you know, why am I doing this? Why am I writing this? It's like, it's for future you. Mm-hmm. You're going to need this information potentially, you know, 20, 30 years down the line. So write it for yourself. Write it for your shipmates. So that's incredibly important. But beyond even that, the cores and the deck logs are so important for lessons learned for our current warfighters. They're looking to the past as well as looking into the future, but they're looking to the past to help inform some of their decisions. And the information included in cores and deck logs is vitally important to that cause.
An example of that that one of our other historians told me that I find incredibly fascinating is that in the early part of the Iraq and Afghanistan conflicts, Congress or the Pentagon, I don't remember who it was specifically, requested the information, but they were trying to stand up river units in one of those locations, and that hadn't been done since the Vietnam War. So they came to us to say, well, how did we do this then? And we were able to provide that information to successfully stand up those units in modern day. So that's why that information is so important. And it's really sad that a lot of the sailors don't know, A, why they're being asked to write these reports, but B, that they even go anywhere, let alone that they're used. I've talked to sailors both, you know, in and out of the Navy that don't know that their deck logs come to our command, let alone that they're actually used to support veterans' claims or anything else. I was recently emailing with a sailor about the Corps reports, and, you know, he expressed that same sentiment that sometimes it just feels like another report they're having to write. And I let him know, like, no, these do actually get used most often to support veterans and their claims. And he told me that made his day and that, you know, supporting the vets is so important, which I agree with. Both of my grandfathers were in the Navy in World War II. So I feel a personal connection to preserving the history of these sailors because in the end, it's going to be so important to them.
Right. I feel at some point in time, you know, I've run across sailors myself that have, hey, I'm trying to find this stuff. How do I go about doing it? And so you pushing that importance of what they must have in them and, again, just their overall general use of their importance. Do you think that influenced that sailor to go back and tell other sailors, hey, this is something that we need to do? I mean, or do you think it was just kind of a, okay, checking the box?
Actually, we've had follow-up with several sailors who have, when they realized that we didn't have the information that they needed, they said, tell us how we can do better for ourselves and for future sailors. And so they do make that
effort. It does make an impact when we have had the chance to go out and engage with members of the fleet. Just in the last year and a half, we've been trying to do more of that, and there has been a marked improvement in the cores and the deck logs that we receive from those commands just because, you know, they understand why it's important not only to them but in the bigger picture. And we are going to try in the future to go out and do more of that and make it not only easier for the commands to submit but also kind of give them a little training on this is what it would be great to see in those. And if you can just save us a copy of the stuff you're already writing throughout the year and then just send it to us. You don't have to like reinvent the wheel every single year because it is a big ask. Like you're trying to condense a year's worth of activities into a report that can vary from, you know, 3 pages to I've seen ones that are 70 pages long on the core reports, depending on how much effort is put into them. And you know, for them to know what it's used for, that always, always leads to an improvement. And everyone that I've spoken to, active duty through the course of fleet engagement, has been so receptive to receiving our help.
That's good to hear.
You know, one other thing that we use the cores and the deck logs for is the Dictionary of American Naval Fighting Ships. And those are the official histories of ships. And those can also be used to help with veterans' claims. And so, again, it's another thing that we can do to tell the history of the Navy, and the sailors are the ones that are helping us write it.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate all that extra information, because hopefully, you know, some sailors will be listening to this podcast and be able to, like, hey, shipmate, here's why this we're doing this, and this is why it's important, because as the both of you said, it's not a matter of for you now importance, but 30 years of importance down the road. Mm-hmm. So when, I guess, this Navy poetry, when did sailors start writing poems, and what's the special about that?
Well, it goes back into the mists of time.
Okay,
that's just the trite answer. In reality, we don't know how far back the tradition goes. The earliest recorded decalogue poem so far is from 1926.
And that was on the USS Idaho, correct?
Yes, the USS Idaho, and it was written by a young ensign whose name was Edward Vincent Dockweiler. And so he wrote it, and I just love the fact that the last couple of lines in it, he says, "If the captain ever sees this log, my God, what will he do?" And the best part is the captain did see the rhyming log, and the captain wrote on the deck log sheet, "The captain is glad to see that the old Navy custom of writing up the first watch of the year in rhyme is known to the younger members of the service. The watch stands as written."
And so it actually has been done prior to that, just we've not been able to find it then.
Correct. That's the first one that is really documented, but obviously the captain's note there really makes it seem as though it is an earlier tradition. And then if you look at another decalogue from 1926, or a story from 1926 from the battleship Pennsylvania, Lieutenant J.G. Arthur Agaton recalled that he said, "The skipper was a humorless fellow who had never heard of this tradition and sent the log back to me for rewriting in less rhythmical style." So clearly they've been doing this. It's just we haven't been able to find it. There's been a couple of researchers who have gone through every deck log from the 1890s forward, maybe even earlier, and these are the earliest references that they've been able to find.
Wow. And that's surprising that they've gone that far back and haven't been able to find anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So with the poems, Naval History Heritage Command has been doing a poetry contest, I guess. Is that what it is? Or
yes, the command itself has been hosting the contest since 2021, where anyone who chooses to participate, it's completely voluntary, can send us a copy of the poem that they've written as the first watch of the new year on New Year's Day, and we read through all of them. The decalogue team chooses what we feel are the top 10. Then a triad of former or current Navy personnel from within the command or, you know, by network reviews those top 10 and picks what they feel are the top three. And then our command director, retired Admiral Samuel Cox, he ranks them first, second, and third, and he gives that information to us. At that point, you know, we start working on the nuts and bolts of getting the information put together on announcing the winners and putting together the prizes.
Okay, so was it always NHHC that ran the contest before, or how long has the contest been going on?
We haven't determined the exact start date of the contest, but a couple of magazines back in the 60s and 70s ran kind of competing contests. The Navy's official All Hands definitely ran a contest. We couldn't determine what the prizes were. And then the Independent Navy Times also ran contests where there was a cash prize. But the All Hands, they would print out their favorite ones every year, and some of them are quite hysterical.
So how many poems are written a year? I mean, is this historically, there's only so many with the Idaho back in 1926? Did it gain a popularity at some point in time, and then is this kind of ebbed and flowed, or has it waned a little bit?
It seems like an ebb and flow, really. I mean, you see a lot of them during World War II, which is surprising because they're in the thick of it. But they're making commentary on being away from home or commentary about the enemy, etc. You also see a huge upsurge during the Vietnam era. But part of that could be because of the contest, and there was a cash prize. So it's hard to say if that was the impetus for the big surge in the Vietnam era. And then since, I guess, the last 20 or so years, it seems to have really fallen off.
Why do you think that is?
just probably a lack of knowledge of the history of the poem or the first watch being in verse, a lack of interest as, you know, society has changed and become less about the arts and more about, you know, technology and what's directly in front of you. Since we've revived the contest, I think we have seen a little bit of an uptick, at least in the entries for every year. It has steadily grown the number of entries we've received, and more ships participate in the tradition than participate in the contest. So I think this last year we received about 35 entrants, and the year before that it was like 29 or 30. But the number of ships that participate in the tradition is probably closer to 50.
Okay. Out of 200 plus some odd ships. So a good clip of people that are doing it, but, you know, trying to preserve that. And I guess that gets into my next thought of why is it important to keep a tradition like this around?
I think it's because it is a way to connect with the past, with the entire history of the Navy. You know, in 1926, you've got this young ensign writing. In 2023, you've got a young ensign writing. And there's a through line between the two of them, you know, nearly 100 years apart. But there's something that connects them together and connects them to something that's bigger than themselves.
Right. So where can people learn more about this?
There's our website, of course. The Naval History and Heritage Command website has a page specifically dedicated to deck logs that we put together when we first decided to restart the contest, as well as the first, second place, and third finishers for 2021 and 2022. And there are several articles that are out there.
And then if you've got lots of time on your hands, you can go to the National Archives, particularly their website, and just look for the January deck logs. And I would say most of them are going to have something in verse. They tend to range from the World War II era up through the Vietnam era. And it's just a nice little way to spend some time looking at these poems.
Right. Now, do either of you have a favorite one personally that you've read and came across? Or
I think my favorite one right now is actually the 2022 winner from the USS Bunker Hill, which did decommission in 2022. And so they made sure in their deck log poem to talk about the entire history of the ship, which I thought was very clever.
That's kind of neat.
I don't know. I'm still partial to the Bassalone's January 1966 one that can be sung to the tune of Downtown by Petula Clark.
Oh, really?
Yes, and I'm not going to sing it.
Oh, come on. I mean, that took some talent to figure out how to do it, to sing it to the song of Downtown.
I can read a little bit of it to you.
Go
you
for
can
it.
Just pretend you're singing along. Midnight has struck, and here on the Bassalone, we're all alone. Alone. The duty section here wants to wish everyone a happy new year. New year. But the officers have made it, followed closely by the crew. There's no one left on board to wish a happy new year to. Sad are we. They've packed up their troubles and woe and have found all the places where lights are aglow and gone, downtown. Gone where the action is, downtown, drinking their beer or fizz, downtown, where we would all like to be.
Interesting. So have you ever been able to do any more research about the person who wrote this and their reasoning of why to write it to this tune of Downtown?
Well, it was a hugely popular song at the time. So that's my assumption, is that they just decided to do that. I haven't researched this person. One of the authors that I have researched, though, is the author of the very first documented poem, and that's from the Idaho. And it was a young ensign named Edward Vincent Dockweiler, as I said before. Dockweiler would later receive the Navy Distinguished Service Medal for his actions as senior prisoner of war officer in the Philippines, where he rallied fellow prisoners and kept them calm en route to prisoner camps in Japan on a Japanese hell ship during World War II.
So he had a very interesting history then.
Very interesting history.
I know that in some of the research I've actually done on this project, one of the deck logs that I actually found really interesting was from the USS Guam when it was in the Philadelphia Navy Yard that was written by Lieutenant A.T. Emerson. And he put in the log, quote, "The French sub Casablanca and the namesake of the yard. The latter vessel mentioned has the military guard. The Atlanta and Savannah we must really include. Also, yard and district craft. But wait, we can't be rude. And forget the mighty warship of our allies across the sea. HMS Lord Nelson sits in dry dock number 3. So is there anything else that you guys think has been neat or interesting that you've come across reading all these poems and the history of it?
To me, I think what's so neat about it is that it's almost wholly an American tradition, an American naval tradition. There's nothing like it in the Royal Navy, and I'm not sure there's anything like it in any other international navies. It is a tradition that is also celebrated by the Coast Guard, where they have ships and shore stations writing poems, and they just launched a contest.
Oh, great. Yeah, because we do have some Coast Guard members try to enter into our contest, and unfortunately, due to legal reasons, we haven't been able to accept those entries. And they've all been great, but, you know, Uncle Sam is very particular about who can print what.
All right. It's interesting to know that the Coast Guard is doing this as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how long have they been doing it for?
I am not sure. I think it's in the past couple of years, though there may have been contests within the Coast Guard earlier on, same time period as the Navy's, but it's just a neat e-service tradition.
Yeah. And finding out that it's purely American, uniquely American, in fact, at that. So for the public that's listening, how would they be able to access these deck logs and command operations reports?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, the Naval History and Heritage Command maintains ownership of the 30 most recent years of deck logs. So if they need a log from that time frame, they can reach out to us through our website. It does require a FOIA request. Anything that is 30 years and older is held by the National Archives at their College Park location.
And so for this year, I'm sure there's a contest going on. When does the winners get announced, or have they been decided yet?
So the 2023 contest winners were announced in the summer. The 2024 contest starts on January 1st, 2024, where U.S. Naval Commission ships have until the end of February to get us copies of their poems should they choose to participate. And at the end of February, we go through the review and selection process. It does take a couple of months because we have to coordinate schedules with several different people. And then the winners of the 2024 contest will be announced probably in June or July.
It was earlier mentioned about prizes and such, and well, the Navy don't issue a monetary prize. What is there besides the bragging rights of, hey, we did the best poem out there?
The first place winner gets a piece of Constitution copper, which is copper from the oldest commissioned ship in the world, not just the U.S. Navy. And as they refit the ship with copper, the old stuff coming off, we get pieces of it and we can use that as awards. And the deck log team gets Constitution copper for the first place winner. First, second, and third place, I'll get a coin from our director, Sam Cox, and we get it mounted in a really nice custom frame. And those usually get mailed out by October.
Okay. So any final thoughts?
I love the poems because it's a unique opportunity for the sailors to really write in their own voice. The Navy has a very specific set of information that it requests to be in the deck log, but the New Year's poem, they can write pretty much whatever they want in whatever way they want. So sometimes the poems rhyme or will come in couplets, and you really get a sense of the individual sailors. And they talk about everything, you know, from what happened in the pandemic and having to stay out to sea longer because they couldn't come into port versus how they feel because their ship is decommissioning and, you know, the emotions that that evokes. And we don't get to see that quite as much in the other entries the rest of the year.
Makes me almost want to go back and look at some of my former ships and see if they participated.
But they have to be uniquely creative because even though they're able to use their own voices and write in verse, they still have to include all of the information mm-hmm. that is required
as part of the
deck log.
Yes.
And so that means that sometimes they have to make some really tortured rhymes.
Some very interesting word choices. Yeah. I have seen ones where they just kind of tack that on to the end and it's not actually a part of the poem, but it's still in the first watch entry. But the really good ones include it in some way.
So now what would that first entry information be that they have to have?
A lot of systems, status, things like that, the engine.
Who's the senior officer present afloat? Just even the tension on the cables?
Mm-hmm.
If they're docked, where are they getting their shore power from? What ships are around them, what the sea state, it's just a whole host of things that have to be listed. There's a wonderful one, and I'm blanking on the name of the ship, but this happened during the Vietnam era where they include all this information and then they're fired upon. So there's a little bit of a fight And then they have to go back in and amend the first watch poem. And they do it in verse, but they put the fight in.
So is there other notable ships that you've come across that have had interesting poetry?
To me, one of the most poignant ones that we found was the first watch entry from Thresher. And the young lieutenant who wrote that did go down with the ship just a few months later. So that one kind of gave us all chills.
Right. With ships that have, I guess, been sunk, thinking of ships Lexington, Yorktown, Indianapolis, are there copies of that stuff out there as well? Or were they lost with the ship?
It would have depended, I think, on where they were in their journey. You know, if they'd been able to make port, mail those logs off to the command and get them to us before they sunk, we would definitely have those. But anything that was on board ship, if the ship was unrecoverable, chances are they would have gone down with the ship.
For us here at Naval History Heritage Command, it's great to see that these stories, as you said, Anna, that they are bigger than one person and how they all interweave and tie us. And to quickly recap, more information about deck logs, command operation reports, Navy poems, and the poetry contest can be found at history.navy.mil. Thanks for joining us today on this inaugural episode of Navy Deck Logs and Sailor Poetry on Anchored in History, Stories of America's Navy.